Welcome to Spoiler in Time, the full experience, where we take a series, watch the first, the ultimate, the lowest, and the last episode. This is the $6 Million Man full experience. I'm Tom Merritt. He's Brian Brushwood.
Oh my God, am I glad that the $6 Million Man has finally showed up. This is the classic experience that I remember from my childhood. How did you feel about it? This one's a little bit tricky because the highest rated episode is one in which it's the middle of a three-part series, which also sounds very $6 Million Man. Also, everyone has mustaches for some reason. Also,
even Jamie Summers.
I guess this is where I first heard the words fembots at some point.
Who knew, right? I don't know if this is the first occurrence, but it definitely reminded me, like, oh yeah, that's where I was first introduced to the term fembot as a child. I definitely remember watching these when they were new. Like this, I was too young to watch $6 Million Man in 1973 when it first was on, but by 77, I was watching it every night. And I remember being excited about the Bionic Woman and how she was getting her own series. And then we're going to get more Bionic Man. It was my first experience with living through a spinoff and getting excited about it. But before we get to talking about this episode itself, Brian, let's talk a little bit about the journey to watching this episode. Because as you mentioned, this is part of a three-part series, Kill Oscar Part 2. However, part one and part three of Kill Oscar are episodes of The Bionic Woman, the spinoff I just mentioned. Part two is an episode of $6 Million Man. And the idea, of course, was to get you to watch The Bionic Woman one week, $6 Million Man later that week, then The Bionic Woman the next week to get the full story. However, that's not how they're distributed now. When I went to watch Kill Oscar Part 2, I wasn't even going to watch it. I was just trying to queue it up and make sure I had it. It wasn't there. You could not find it. I was going through season 4 of $6 Million Man and on Peacock and was like, there's the episode before it. There's the episode after it. What's going on? So I did a little poking around, and they now distribute this as part of The Bionic Woman. The Bionic Woman, not available on Peacock. So I had to go find it somewhere else. I think I found it at Zumo eventually.
I know where you found it.
Well, hold on, not yet. Yet, okay. You know where I ended up finding it. But when you go watch it on Zumo, if it's Zumo or Pluto, I don't even remember. But when you watch it there, it's The Bionic Woman. You get The Bionic Woman opening. The rest of the episode, I haven't actually checked, but I presume is pretty much the same. But you're getting The Bionic Woman open and close. And I'm like, well, we're watching the $6 Million Man, so either we don't watch this and pick another episode, or we find a version of it that is as aired with the $6 Million Man opening. And I found one legally on archive.org, where they had preserved, as the library of the internet, many episodes of $6 Million Man, including Kill Oscar Part 2, with the proper $6 Million Man open and close. And so I sent that link to Brian, and that's how we watched it. And I think it was worth jumping through those hoops, right? Because I didn't want to listen to The Bionic Woman open and pretend like, well, I guess I can just imagine The Bionic Man open. And it made sense to hear the $6 Million Man opening.
So a couple of disclosures. I have fond memories of The Bionic Woman because I was 12 turning 13, and it was in syndication on Sky Television when I lived in Norway. End of sentence. But the $6 Million Man was one that I watched when I was very, very young, like 4 or 5 years old. And was it good to watch that that opening sequence, where it's just, there's so much noise in there. And I like, you could tell they really wanted it to feel archival or like a movie or something. But it was good to see the classic opening. It was good to see just like a previously on. Yes. Give us like, well, that was a very big info dump.
That was like a 15 minute previously on. That the one thing I can say is I watched the beginning of the Bionic Woman version of this that's distributed, and it was the same exact previously on. So I'm assuming the rest of it was the same. And didn't it strike you? Now, I didn't go watch part one or part three, but didn't it strike you that part one looked like it was mostly Jamie Summers, the Bionic Woman, and that she called upon Steve to help, and then she ended up in the hospital. And part two has her laid up in the hospital from being attacked, and it's mostly, yeah, it's mostly Steve Austin, the $6 million man for this episode.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess the second thing, a couple of little tidbits I noticed is the weird robot faces. If you're a fan of Rick and Morty, you'll recognize that that's where in season one, in the opening, when, you know, he gets slapped on the back and his face falls off and it's a robot. That's clearly the artistic inspiration for that. Dan Harmon is not shy. We talked about Heat Vision and Jack, you know, with his motivations. I almost feel like I can't speak for the whole story, Tom, because we obviously have not gotten the whole story, but I can speak for what I liked about this episode. Man, a lot of mustaches. A lot of mustaches in this episode.
Yeah. Mustaches galore. The best mustaches in television, by far.
Very clearly, and again, like, he is the $6 million man. People called him the Bionic Man, but he's not. She is the Bionic Woman. I rather liked the first half of this episode because they weren't carefully explaining everything to me. But then in an age where everything was real time to television and you had to assume that everybody watching now wasn't there for the beginning, they had to like flat out explain, we switched out this guy for the other guy. And that was my plan all along. I was like, all right.
a couple of things that occurred to me. First of all, regarding the faces, you have this technology to replicate an entire human and you can't make the face stay on. Like, it seemed a little convenient that the faces could fall off. But even then, if the faces fall off that easy, isn't that your way of detecting these? Like, just make everyone go through a face pulling?
The way you detect them is the fact that they are 600 pounds.
Yeah, I like the shtick. I actually really did like the shtick of, like, I threw a pencil under his foot and he stepped on it. He didn't just break it. He crushed it.
Yeah. Well, by the way, shag carpet to the rescue.
Oh my gosh, right?
Like, that first scene is like, something curious about how the shag carpet gets like really, really pushed down whenever this guy walks.
Also, I thought it was kind of hilarious how the doctor would be like, no, Steve, you can't do that. And Steve would go, but I really want you to do that. And then the doctor would be like, well, okay. I'm just a doctor. Like, it might be too, it might hurt, it might risk her life to wake her up. I really need to talk to her. All right, let's wake her up.
Just for a little bit, though.
Yeah, we're going to have to make you go back to sleep, young lady.
By the way, it's always good to see the place where Shatner fought Gorn.
The Gorn, yeah. it was a busy shoot location back in the 70s, late 60s and early 70s. Also, second incidents of, we've only watched two episodes, where throwing a pole at something made it explode.
It's a fascinating storytelling mechanic to watch, like, well, what do we want to convey? We want to convey that he's like really fast. What's a good way to convey that? What if we played it really slow?
Oh yeah, the sound effects were everywhere, right? First episode we didn't have any sound effects except a couple of hints. Here they were using them every chance they got, right?
I got a little bit drifty near the end once I kind of pieced together, like, okay, you swapped out the guy for the guy, and you're Armin Zola, basically, evil guy. I was left, Tom, with a sense of, and I don't mean any disrespect because I'm glad we watched it, but there was a flash of, the best, most highly rated episode of this show. All right.
I feel like with $6 Million Man, because the other alternative wasn't bad. If we had bailed on this and said, well, I guess it's Bionic Woman now, the Bigfoot episodes of $6 Million Man are not part of our full experience. They are kitschy as all get out, but I feel like they are beloved for the same reason that this is beloved, which is the kitsch. And the fembots are definitely the thing that make this the highly rated episode, right?
Remember back in the past when air conditioning was expensive and lights were always very hot, and all men on all television shows were just constantly sweating at all times?
Yeah,
That was just a thing I noticed.
Quite a bit of sweating going on. John Houseman, the legend, as our evil too. Like,
What else should I know him from? Because I could tell that I'm like, it's one of those that guys that I should know.
he made his money the old-fashioned way. He earned it.
The ad?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the most famous thing you probably know, John Houseman. But he was a character actor. He was a movie actor. Paulus the Paper Chase. He's just sort of a legendary presence throughout the 50s through the 70s.
He really does have this like predatory leaning in. Like I constantly feel like I'm a child and he's about to eat me.
Yeah, for sure. Also, I didn't drift too much towards the end because I was reliving the anxiety I felt as a 7-year-old as I watched Steve and Oscar fight. I was th This was so compelling to me, as paper thin and telegraphed as it is to me now, as a 7-year-old, I was like,
And by the way, Oscar, calm down, children. Oscar is not real Oscar. It's robot Oscar.
yeah.
It's mainly an excuse to show off the paper mache walls that they made.
Well, and I literally remember being like, oh my gosh, he punched through the wall. Like, he's not really Oscar, but I had all these mixed feelings of like, but he looks like Oscar, and I just don't like I don't like him and Oscar fighting, and I don't want them to kill Oscar. And it was a very emotional episode for someone unschooled in how television works at the time.
As somebody who knows a little bit about production, I was fascinated by the fact that they slow motioned, like, well, that's not at all a sheetrock, and it's
No.
like, and then like pieces are falling off as this gets come out, and then, and it's like, well, they're acting like this is how heavy is a bookcase that comes from IKEA? It was fascinating. It was
What about that high-speed van chase?
Remind me of how that went.
The escape, where they get in the van and they're ch the bad guys are chasing after them, and the van just kind of slowly accelerates.
That's all of the 70s as far as I can tell. But leaving on a cliffhanger, I don't know, man. I actually had the thought, if it was a different day and we weren't doing our jobs, I might have
You might have
gone
kept going. Okay,
on. I might have just gone on to episode
that's
three.
to its that's a that's to its credit that it like it was like, yeah, I mean, I know Oscar lives, but I kind of want to see how, I want to relive that, which you can. And the Bionic Woman episode, Kill Oscar Part Three.
He's also got those totally rad like 1970s gigantic glasses.
Oh yeah, no, this episode particularly was pure, pure 70s, from the mustaches to the shag carpet to the
to the green. Like, okay, did you notice that Lee Majors was dressed in a fashionable lime green outfit, and he picked up a clearly painted yellow landline phone so that the contrast would look amazing?
Yeah, no, it was everything about this episode screamed 70s. I'm actually looking up because I want to get the exact date that this aired. October 31st, Halloween, 1976. is when this came out. Merely 5 episodes after the return of Bigfoot Part 1.
Well, so okay, which brings me to my big question. Tom, if this is the very best that the $6 million man gets,
I am so excited to watch season 2, episode 21, Outrage in Ballandary, where a faux Irish Republican Army stand in, because you wouldn't actually call it the Irish Republican Army. That would be being political at a time when the troubles in Ireland are in full swing. But you can allude to something that's kind of like them. We're going to get some Irish terrorists in the worst episode of $6 Million Man.
More than 10 years until Miami Vice would very bravely have
Liam Neeson. Yeah.
Yeah.
Paula says that episode was banned in the UK, Outrage in Ballandary.
Tracks.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. Because if that was 1976 for Kill Oscar Part 2, it would have been 74 for Outrage in Ballandary. So yeah, you're not getting away with that. Or maybe 75 because it was at the end of the season, but still. No, it would have been 74. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. So, I guess we really don't have any kind of rating system for the full experience. We just get to talk about.
No, we get to talk about whether it fulfilled our expectations as the ultimate episode or not.
So far, Tom, I'm going to straight out say $6 Million Man does not seem to hold up to my childhood imagination. The first episode was disappointing. And if this is the ultimate episode, while it didn't make me angry, I didn't feel as much there as I would hope.
It was pure nostalgia play for me. This was not me sitting there having a good time because, wow, this $6 Million Man was a great show. This is me having a good time because, oh, I remember how I felt about the Bionic Woman, about Lindsay Wagner, about Steve Austin, about Oscar turning bad, about fembots and the whole situation. It was pure nostalgia for me that made me enjoy this. But so far, of the two episodes we've watched, this was the stronger of the two.
Oh, by a country mile. Lawn Makes in the chat points out that maybe I'm a little bit ruined because the Steve Summers character from the Venture Brothers was a better distillation, as also was Jack Austin from Heat Vision and Jack.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a little bit like what I think of as the Godfather phenomenon, where it's like I've seen better parodies, and as a result, the original, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, just a bunch of overworked tropes. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I gotcha. All right, so hang with us, folks. We are going to dip down into the lowest depths of $6 Million Man. Oh, that reminds me. We 2 out of 2 episodes, we've got a, I don't know how much you cost, $5-6 million, maybe. Like,
I didn't notice that. I noticed it this time, but yes.
So we'll find out if his price gets quoted again in episode 21 of season 2, Outrage in Ballandary, as we continue with the full experience of the $6 Million Man on Spoiler in Time next week. You get these episodes early if you're a patron. Get it. Go get signed up. Patreon.com/CordKillers. We'll see you next time.